Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very senior professional from the world of pharmaceuticals, Mr. Naji Gehchan. Naji, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Naji is the Global Development Leader Oncology at Eli Lilly. He's the co-founder of eHealth Startup, one of the hottest startups in the Middle East, North Africa region. And he's a podcast host of a podcast called SpreadLoveIO.com. So Naji, let's start talking about what life you have come out of. You worked in a war zone in Lebanon. Now you're using the same tactics to navigate the pandemic. Tell me what you're doing.
Thanks so much again for having me today. And I moved to the US a couple of years ago, and I never imagined going back and thinking, reflecting, and using some of the learnings that I lived and mm-hmm. I had to do when I was in the Lebanese Red Cross during times of tension and war. When I moved to the US, it's the pandemic that really made me reflect back on those things mm-hmm. And the learning that I have. And we can talk also about other leadership lessons that I had. But specifically to your question, really two things. You know, when we were going through the uncertainty, we were going through this crisis, no one knew what's going to happen, how it's going to become the very first weeks and months. So I went and I really was thinking, what did we do with our team? Why we were waking up, you know, as in the Lebanese Red Cross during a moment of war, and how under stress and crisis we managed to do what we had to do, which is try to save people and rescue them. And for me, it boiled down to two things. And this is what I took and I applied, and I'm applying at the work of corporate, I think entrepreneurs can apply it too. The first one is really knowing your why. In moment of tension, there is so much noise, so much uncertainty that having a clear purpose, knowing why you are doing what you're doing is key. And the second one is do what you really know how to do, right? So we all have our jobs. We know the technicalities of what we do. We have our capabilities. So in moment of stress, let's go back to these two basics. Why am I here? And I know how to do this. Let's make sure that I'm doing it. And this will help us, in fact, deliver to the purpose we have. So this is kind of the experiences we have during wartime, during moments of tension. As rescuers, every time we would go, we definitely believed and cared for one another. And we had this purpose. We were here to save people. And we knew how to rescue. We knew how to help them out of the situation. So this will be the only two focuses. And then, you know, as we move forward, things will change, but it's fine. We will adapt to it.
Amazing. So, you know, when you look at the challenges in Lebanon, what have been some of your learnings from all the challenges as a leader? And how have you used these in the corporate world now that you're in America?
Yeah, great question. You know, for a long time, I think I was, I didn't really reflect on those and thought of them as a leader. And it took me a while to kind of even personally understand why I didn't do it. Why I never shared my story, for example. So I only shared it a couple of years ago. And now I share it because I hope every person has an amazing story to tell, right? Yeah. And I encourage everyone to do it, not only mainly, in fact, for other people to be inspired and do it themselves and to grow. So this to tell you, yeah, I did not in the beginning reflect, but then there was this specific moment that I still remember. It was in 2007, in the June 13th, we got a call and we had to go immediately to a scene in Beirut. So I was the team leader at that time. We were four in the ambulance. We ran. We had our, you know, all the equipments on. We got there, a horrific scene. I'm not going to describe the horror we saw.
Yeah.
But the key piece was I literally had fractions of seconds to decide for myself and to decide for my team. What do we do? Do we go? We save lives. Should we protect ourselves? There was a risk of another bomb. It was a terrorist attack, unfortunately, that day. We looked at one another, and really in fractions of seconds, we went in. We went in and we started to help and rescue as much as we can for several hours. So reflecting back to your question, what I brought with me, this moment, in fact, was so crucial, not only for my life and my career and the decisions that I made, but more thinking on moments of leadership and thinking about trust and thinking, why did I go in? Why did my team go in? And it took me, in fact, you know, when I compare it to the corporate world, many times we talk about, we trust one another. We're going to do everything to be successful on helping patients or whatever industry we're in. But then when things go wrong or where there's a tension or when there's stress, right, what happens is not that, right? Like trust suddenly becomes, maybe it's the other one. Maybe, no, we start finger pointing, right? And it's always someone else's fault. Well, correct. If we look at the word, this is exactly what everyone does, right? Correct. From politics to everything. So for me, I started to think, what really brought us to go in and do what we had to do and risk our lives, literally, right? And there's no incentive, like we're just volunteers, right, doing this. So definitely the purpose, definitely the values, definitely the greater good, we can say. But really, as I thought about it, it took me to there's something beyond trust. And this is what I call love, right? So we can call it care, we can call, you know, genuine care. I called it love because it's, for me, when I was going in, I knew that my people cared about me. They would be here if something would happen to me. They would be here for my parents, for my community. And they knew exactly the same. I would be here for them, for their parents, for their community. So this is where, in fact, one of the biggest learning that I had during this time, and I brought it back with Spread Love in organizations, when I started to experimenting it, within my teams and now with launching the podcast. And suddenly I'm starting to hear about so many amazing leaders who actually believe in this. Many are afraid to say the word love, but they are actually, they love their people, and they care about them to an extent where people feel safe to thrive and they deliver a better on their purpose and on the impact they can bring.
Amazing, amazing. You know, when you are faced with a life and death situation, you know, and I'm sure when you're walking into these scenarios, it was dangerous. There is the standard fight or flight response. And a lot of people will run. What were your thoughts in your mind when you were confronted with a challenge where you could have gone into very, very serious problems?
Yeah.
Risking your own life.
It's a great question. I'm gonna give you two answers. The first one, it's definitely true. You are, and we're faced in situations where you just either stop, not do, or even leave. And I think as a leader, on this specific moment that I shared with you, I had someone in the team who could not go in. He couldn't. I think the key piece here is accepting this and not blaming, not saying, oh my God, like, no, you have this work, you need to do it. It's just accepting this vulnerability, accepting the fact that, yeah, sometimes it's just hard. Let's just accept that we cannot, and then we can discuss and move. So I think this is part, you know, that as you were asking, yeah, it's true, sometimes we block, but it's okay. If we help our people, it was a specific moment, etc. And it's about caring, right? And then people can go back and do even better. The second piece about what we were thinking, you know, when I think back, I this is where I came to these two pieces, right? I think we were here to save people. So this power of purpose definitely makes us go in. And then this caring, loving culture, it helps us say, okay, if we go, yeah, bad things might happen, but you know, I'm here to do this. I know how to do it, and people will be here for me. And maybe, you know, as I'm growing, there might be also this piece of, just, you know, just doing good. I don't know if, you know, as we grow, we get less crazy, you know, about doing these type of situations. But yeah, I think it's, you know, it's this purpose and the environment that you create and feeling that you can really help people at certain moments that bring this.
Fascinating.
And you know, like this pandemic showed us again, healthcare providers being on the front end, right? So many physicians, you know, and friends risking their lives to try and save others' lives. So
amazing. So one more question relating to your experience in Lebanon and moving to the US. Did your experience in the challenges in Lebanon make you a bigger risk taker in the corporate world, or you know that you were, you know, now you didn't, it didn't, you know, it doesn't really matter whether you were faced with any kind of challenge in the corporate world?
Yeah, it's you know, it's an interesting, I don't know if I would say risk taker. So there are two things that definitely, you know, beyond leadership, more personally, I think of or make me kind of, you know, behave or on the risk level a little bit different. I think risk is always relative, right? So for me, one of the things is change, you know, and the risk related to change and taking this, I'm willing to change, I'm willing to do things. I think, it goes back to, I lived war when I was a kid. It was constant change for us. I still remember my dad used to say, every day is a bonus. So growing with this, it's definitely, it's about the present. It's about how I'm maybe taking more risk, but you know, I want to do it because let's make it happen. Why should we wait?
Right.
So it definitely shaped me, accept change, probably be more resilient. I've lived, you know, my parents lost everything in war many times. So I think it built also by watching the parents, right? Like we're all kind of, also see this.
Correct.
As there's an amazing article about ghosts in the exec room, but yeah, we live those. So I think those experiences definitely shaped my appetite for change, my appetite for risk taking, and the way I behave or take decisions, and the relativity of things.
Oh,
right. I remember very young when I started in the corporate world, having someone, you know, running to my desk and say, "Oh, we have an urgency," and I was like, well, "What's going on? Who's like, is someone dying?" You know, I'm coming from emergency physician, and
I know.
And then it was like, you know, we need to validate this. Okay, I'll do it. It's fine, like, you know. So
absolutely.
It helps me make it more relative, but at the same time, you know, I'm frequently asked this question, like, "Yeah, then it's relative, but is it really urgent in the corporate world?" And yes, I think it's just different, right? Because again, especially in the healthcare, we are working to make life better for people, to save lives, right? So if we are not working in urgency, patients cannot wait, right? If you're working on drugs that are life-saving, that can literally change the paradigm of care, every minute that you delay an answer or you delay a decision or an interaction is possibly a minute that you're delaying for patients to get treatment. So my impatience is always kind of the same.
Very well said.
It's just relative, right?
Correct. Well said. So Naji, let's now talk about your startup in the Middle East, the e-health startup, which as you say, is one of the hottest startups in MENA. Tell me a little bit about the startup.
Yeah. It's not me who says this. there was an article published when we co-founded the startup.
Yes.
Who said this? And you know, so I would go back to my personal purpose. I strive to make life better for patients. So this is really what shaped me from being a physician and then moving to the pharma world. and co-founding the startup. So we co-founded with three friends and partners, Sahati.com. So it's a startup in the Middle East, as you said, and you've seen it. Really in this idea of bringing better information and medical care for the patients in the Middle East. So this startup, we launched 8 years ago, seven, 8 years ago, and is now serving a large part of the Middle East with more than 10 million followers on social media, and we're trying to help. So it really goes back, you know, to my personal purpose and a topic I think when we started it 10 years ago, and many startups even did it, now there are big companies like WebMD, many big companies, it goes to this need about reliable health information. And it's frightening when I look today in 2022 and I see that the biggest pandemic beyond the pandemic that unfortunately was terrible for so many people around the world is this pandemic of mistrust and misinformation in the healthcare system. So yeah, we did it to increase and bring reliable information, but I think there is such a big growth yet to do all together to ensure that people trust the healthcare, trust the data, and the healthcare information is really reliable. And you know, for people to make sure that they are making the right decisions in their lives and get the right treatments, and well, even before treatments, having a healthy lifestyle, and then when needed, having the right treatments.
Wonderful. So one of the questions I've often asked people who focus on MENA. MENA is a very, very large number of countries, and they're very different. Your health startup, what is it doing that it can offer a proposition to so many different countries?
Yes, so you know, that's a really great point, and it's an opportunity and challenge sometimes, right? So the real opportunity and what we try to bring since the beginning is it's a platform that is in Arabic. So the health information is in Arabic, and Arabic is read similarly across the different countries. So this is why suddenly from an opportunity standpoint, you are serving all the region once you start writing in Arabic. The challenge though is the writing might be different, the understanding might be different. So we really focused in the beginning on how to write articles that are patient-centered and that can be understood in a similar way across the main geographies and the main countries based on populations that we are serving and trying to help. But then, you know, if you take a little bit more to your question, the challenge becomes, it's yes, you can serve those with medical information, but now with the other verticals that the company has, and definitely my partners are leading it now, so they can talk way better than me on it. But it brings other challenges, right? When we went into telehealth, it's different regulations. When you go into Sahati Care, that is bringing parapharmaceutical products online, it's different regulations. So then you go back into, instead of having a region with a simple language and serving everyone, you go back into the specificity of each one of the countries.
Very interesting. So, Naji, I've got time to now talk to you about your podcast, which is spreadloveio.com. Tell me about your podcast. But before that, tell me, what is the meaning of spreadloveio? What does IO stand for?
Yeah, so it's IO is in organizations. So so the podcast is Spread Love in Organizations, and our website, well, we have Spread Love in Organizations, but we felt it's super long. So we have spreadloveio.com. So the podcast itself goes back to my experiments, the discussions that I had, the leadership that I believe in, which is this loving leadership. So we can call it servant leadership, genuine care. Like there's a lot of studies, a lot of research that has been done around this type of leadership. So I wanted to bring this idea and this movement to the world. And I feel we need it even more today than any time, with all that we're going, with all the mental health issues that we're facing, with isolation, etc. I think the impact of leaders sometimes is underestimated. Every interaction we can have with someone can literally change their life positively, or it can change their day negatively, and then the ripple effect on their families, communities, etc. And you know, well, a lot of research have shown, right, the more we have this caring environment, the more people are willing to be themselves and to bring the best of themselves to deliver on the purpose and on the results ultimately for all the stakeholders.
Right.
So mixing all this, in fact, this is where we launched Spread Love in Organizations as a podcast. And the idea was to bring amazing, incredible leaders who are practitioners. We kept it focused on the healthcare because this is where my purpose and my my partner's purpose is. And bringing those for them to share their leadership belief, bring their voice, share their stories, and show that it can work that way. And it should only work that way, if I may say, for you to deliver impact with your people and have incredible results. So this was really the idea, and we've been, we launched in April last year, and we've been doing weekly episodes, and we're now in top 10% globally from a podcast standpoint, and we're having also thinkers, academics who did research on this type of philosophy and this type of practices within organizations. So it's been really amazing to be able and to have the privilege to talk and to have so many incredible leaders who are daily doing it, and so many great stories to tell.
Amazing. Naji, on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your incredible journey in Lebanon and coming out. More importantly, thank you for talking to me about your amazing learnings from a situation where you were faced with life and death, if I can use that term. And you know how you have been able to correlate a lot of these learnings into the corporate world that you are now in. Thank you for talking to me about your startup, and I sincerely hope and pray that it will become not just one of the hottest, but it will be soon be one of the hottest unicorns in MENA. And thank you for talking to me about Spread Love in Organization. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.